Check.
Blog Talk
check.
Radio.
Check. Check. Praise the Lord.
Can you hear it?
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on... Now I hear it. We're good now. Well, I do want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday. This is March 28th of 2023. And it's great to be with you tonight, wherever you may be tuning in, however you may be tuning into the broadcast. And wherever you may be, whether you're at home or maybe you're at work or maybe you're at a beach or something on spring break. And I've asked people, you know, recently I've been finding myself wondering, what is it about spring break that draws people to the water? Even if it's an indoor pool, maybe that might be in like the local area. And my philosophy on that is that spring break makes people think of water, and it makes people think of warmer weather. Hopefully warmer weather coming. And that's my philosophy on why spring break draws people to the water, even if it's like up here in Michigan at a indoor pool. There was a year back in 2010 that we had like two different days of spring break back to back, where the highs were in the 80s. And that was 2010. From what you remember, do you remember hearing that some people had went to Sanford Beach that one of those days?
Yes.
Was there like a few people, or was it actually kind of busy?
2010 spring break.
That certain one or two warm days that you remember?
I heard many of my classmates say that they were going to Sanford Beach and Stratford Beach. So I have to assume that it was busy, but those two warm days, I myself found myself on Wixom Lake, which is north of that in Edenville.
Yep, due north. Was there like only one boat out there, or was there actually a decent amount?
There were actually quite a few boats.
Like, are we talking summer packed or like not quite?
No, nowhere near summer packed, but an unseasonable amount for early April.
So it was like, it would be like if it would have been nice maybe the weekend after Labor Day, or less than that still even?
Less than that. Because there was still little bits of ice in the water on Wixom Lake. Yes. Yes. So.
How about Sanford, from what you understand?
I don't know. I thought that it would be busy because of my classmates mentioning being there, but I don't know if they were in the water in April.
And by the way, listeners, if you're wondering, we are specifically talking about Thursday, April 1st of 2010, and then also Friday, April 2nd, Good Friday of 2010. Now that was during Midland Public School spring break. And about that, I actually remember going to the community center at like 1:30 p.m. on that Good Friday. And guess how many people were there at that pool? Literally, like something like that, or 8 or 10, or why no 100?
Because it was so nice outside, they could just enjoy the glory of God without the glory of mankind's man-made pool.
Do you think it would have been spring break bumping had it been more a lot cooler like it would normally be?
Yes, I think that it would have been spring break bumping.
Like a nice 145, maybe even 150, 170 even. With nobody, with nobody checked though.
Yeah.
Nobody checked.
Nobody checked.
Yeah. Well, how? Speaking of which, why did they quit doing it 90s style and start doing buddy checks instead now?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it probably has to do with the fact that the 90s were not as safe as the years since then.
Well,
so maybe the buddy check has a safety aspect to it.
I feel like I can kind of see it, but I also feel like it's a waste of time.
Okay.
Like in a way, I feel like it's kind of a waste of time, and I get having them be accounted for, but I feel like they could have a way to do it while the kids are still in the water. By they, I mean the counselors,
right?
Without even, you know, turning everything off, because they, you know, like do, you know, like do, you know, like do the a new buddy check, which this is called a buddy scan. You know, but when you're in a pool that's got like 70 other people in it, like today did, you can't do the buddy scan.
No.
So you have to do the actual buddy check, not the scan.
Exactly. It's a head count thing. They want to make sure that everybody's got heads above the water. They want to make sure that nobody has swam with the fishes.
That's why they can't just do a buddy scan,
exactly.
like how the lifeguard is constantly scanning the pool.
Exactly.
Because even if they did, they could do it more often. But that doesn't mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even though people might say, well, yeah, then you could actually do it more often instead of less, and not be just, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, well, you feel like these counselors don't have you already doing that though.
Yes.
You feel like they're already buddy scanning.
Yes.
Share a certain camp here in the city here last year. I did not remember them doing buddy checks when they were at Plymouth Pool, and they were there quite a few times when I was there.
I also don't remember, and I was also there many times in the early 2000s.
I'm even talking 2022, last year.
Oh.
And they did. And they did not do a buddy check, that I know of. So your guess is it's called different philosophies.
Yes.
Because even though you're kind of supposed to be required to do it every 15 minutes, maybe that camp is different. Because you've heard really they're supposed to do it every 15 minutes.
Yes.
Where do you hear it? Tell me where you heard this about the 15-minute rule.
Do you remember that I told you I had a family member who was a lifeguard at community center for a while?
Which one?
Amanda.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And she would tell me, because I would tell her how nervous I was about taking my kids to the pool, and she would let me know that they have to do some sort of buddy check every 15 to 20 minutes. For safety standards.
It's supposed to be 15 technically, but you understand the way you understand it, it's supposed to be 15, but sometimes they just go with 20 anyway.
Well, it's supposed to be 15, but there's always the wiggle room of, you know, maybe they were
took too long the last time.
So they give that plus 5 minutes as a safety buffer.
I felt like there was over 20 minutes today where they didn't do one. I feel like the first, like, I don't know, half hour I was there, they were just in there, just, you know, rocking around. But then it seemed like they started doing them, like, too often.
There were a lot of small children in there today. There were a lot of toddlers. There were a lot of babies.
Is that why why they started doing them more often?
Yes, because there were even toddlers and babies in the hot tub when I got there, and they had their floaties and everything. There was at least 20 humans in the hot tub of soup.
In the hot tub.
I wouldn't think there was 20 because there was still room to sit.
Yes, because most of that 20 was toddlers, babies, and small children that were actually swimming in the water, not sitting.
So that's why I didn't feel like,
exactly.
Oh, this actually is packed.
Yeah.
So that so made me think, oh, there's probably like, you know, six, you know, room to spread out.
Yeah.
So basically they were breaking the rule that says only 11 in there. Which is supposed to be a no-go. But because of how they did it, they could have got away with 24.
They could have got away with.
Well, that being said, folks, that I was mentioning about the spring break and water thing because there was honestly more people there at the Maryland Community Center pool than what I would have thought there would have been. It reminded me of some spring break days of old where there were times where I had seen close to 200. Mind you, I think a lot of those times it was without a camp even being there. And I can recall there being, well, yeah, like I said, quite, you know, a good amount of people there. That 150 was the most I had seen in, I don't know, since 2019 or so. But the time that I'm speaking of, there was a ton of birthday parties, a ton. Like, I don't, like three of them. That they must have had 20 people per party. And those parties that you've seen there before in the past, would you say on average they were kind of close to 20?
Yeah.
As many as 25, as few as like 12?
I think most of the party packages are between 10 and 25 kids.
But generally they can't be less than 10.
No.
Why can't they be less than 10, I wonder? Because what if they only want to invite 8 kids?
I think that they can, but the price of the package for 10 kids is like set. So if only 8 kids show up, they still have to pay for those 2 kids that didn't show up. It's more of a money thing than a number of children thing.
Right.
So whereas like there, because there's a 10, I guess there's a 10, a 15, a 20, and a 25 is my guess, because those three different rooms, I believe there's 3 of them. That sounds right. 3 of them?
There are 3 of them, yes.
And you've seen it where they were all going.
I've seen it where 2 were going. I haven't seen it where all 3 were going.
And they were both at capacity.
Those 2, yes, they were at capacity.
So if you include the parents, that was 60 right there?
Honestly, no. There was a lot more kids than there were adults. I don't think that there were any of the parents of the children from the birthday party there. I think they just dropped their kids off with the custodial parent of the party.
Oh, my goodness. Even the kids under 7 who are supposed to have an adult with them in the water.
They had an adult, just not in the water.
My question is, how is one of them supervising 25 kids?
You should have more than one, but that isn't how things you always go with birthday parties.
And besides that, they're not going to do a body check every 10 minutes.
Right.
At that point, maybe you need to do one every 5 minutes, really.
Yeah.
But then at that point, you know, you'd spend more time doing body checks.
Yeah.
Body check! Which, speaking of body check, if you don't know what that is, it's where they will literally have the kids sit on, have people sit on the wall, and then, you know, they'll count you. And then one time they had us do something at Invasion 2016. I would kind of call this a spiritual body check in a way, but the purpose of this one was different. What they had us do was place your hand on that of someone next to you on both sides, And then the count of three, like, he had us all shout and that, like, all in unity and, like, all that. Like, it was an awesome thing to watch, actually. Like, because sometimes when you're in your darkest hour, you need someone there on your right side, someone there on your left side. And, does it make sense why I would call that a buddy check, but a different form of it?
Yeah.
Like that, because it's not like we're in the water. In your mind, you would totally call that a spiritual buddy check.
Yeah.
So that's basically like what he did. It'd be like, if you were to phrase it differently, it'd be like, we're going to do what's called a buddy check. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you shouted unto God instead of all yelling here. Or them just counting them out. Like what they'll do. And they just had them all like right where they were. You know what I mean? Because it was a really neat thing to watch, honestly, because even I did it. The first time I'd even heard of a buddy check was back in 07 at a camp I was at for blind people and actually they did it in 2006 that when I was at in Greenville. But they did it with us still in the water and they just had us hold up our hands and stuff. Hold up the hand of the one next to you. You're assigned buddy. You know, because generally you were assigned a buddy. And that's what they do with the children. You know, obviously they'll do it how they do it, you know, in case some of you wonder, like, some of your parents might wonder, you know, what on earth is a buddy check? Well, I just told you, because in case you were thinking of maybe sending one or two of your kids to a camp that involves water, that generally that is something that they will generally do. Generally. Can't speak for all, but anywho. So that's kind of what I've been up to. Also, I did want to let you know the movie Jesus Revolution is still out in theaters. I don't know if some of you have watched it yet or not. I know I went and watched it. It was a great movie, and I thought it was emotional, but not in a bad way. What'd you say?
I said just the stuff that I cooked.
Oh.
Yes.
But anyhow, folks, listeners, if you haven't watched it, please go and watch it. You'll be glad you did, and you can see how people from that hippie culture got saved and gave their life to Jesus and how they kind of brought some of that hippiness with them. But obviously not the drug use and the, you know, the other, some other different things that they were doing. And my mom could tell you, she was a hippie. The truth is, she still has some hippiness in it, sort of. But not in the bad way. That's a good way to put it, right? Like you can tell she is a hippie. Do you know of any people, Jessica, who were hippies who got saved and they're still kind of more or less hippies?
I do not.
My mom is like the only one you know of?
Yep, I would say so.
So you knew of no other hippies?
I didn't. My grandmother. You know what? My grandma was a hippie.
But, like, she was no longer a hippie when she got saved, but she still had some hippiness.
She likes to dress in, like, Indian-type clothing. So, like, sort of like that. Like tribal-type clothing.
Which my mom does not do. It's more personality. You feel like with her, it's more personality that she's more hippie-ish.
Your mom or my grandmother?
My mother.
Oh.
You'll feel like for her, from what you've known of her, it's more personality that she was, you would say she's more hippie-ish.
Right.
But not like by dress or anything.
No, she doesn't dress like that.
And I'm sure there's probably possibly some hippies maybe that never did.
I would imagine so.
And I'm sure that some of them would say, well, if you don't dress like that, then you're not a true hippie. I found myself asking someone the other day if there was such a thing as a hippo hippie or a hippie hippo. You know, a hippie hippopotamus. A hippopotamus, that's a hippie. Like, just imagine at Christmas, if we were singing that song, I want a hippie hippopotamus for Christmas. Well, that's the last Christmas thing you'll hear from this until maybe June 25th. Actually, this is not even the 25th. This is actually the 28th, so I'm 3 days late. As of three days ago, we were a third of the way, no, a quarter of the way back to Christmas. And let me just see here in my brain, June 25th. Nope, that's a Sunday. So, nope. July 25th, anniversary day. That's actually first night of invasion, so if I do anything that night, it'll be like early. But I was thinking, what do you think is different, Lex, from a hippie hippopotamus versus a regular hippopotamus?
A hippie hippopotamus versus a regular hippopotamus. Does it have anything to do with an hourglass shape?
You think they could have an hourglass shape, maybe?
Yes. Maybe they could eat only vegetables. I think hippopotamuses only eat vegetables anyway.
So would the hippie only eat certain vegetables more so?
You know, I think I know what it is. So the standard African hippopotamus is very aggressive and territorial. I think that a hippie hippopotamus would be non-aggressive and very welcoming to strangers in its community.
But at the same time, he might have a little more umph, a little more pizzazz,
Because the style might be more stylish than a typical hippopotamus.
Like certain personality traits that my mother has.
Oh,
but in a hippopotamus form.
I would love to see a hippopotamus with your mother's personality. I think that that would be amazing. I would love that. It would be the most glamorous
hippopotamus
that
you could have that
I had ever met. Exactly. Yes.
And that would be the hippo that you would want for Christmas, the one that's a hippie.
Well, I know that I would want it, and I also know that my daughter would want it, because according to
the regular hippo or the hippie one?
Oh, no. The hippie hippopotamus. If it had the same personality as your sweet mother, my 6-year-old daughter would be obsessed with it, because my 6-year-old daughter is obsessed with your sweet mom.
What about the 4-year-old?
The 4-year-old has nothing against her, but my 6-year-old thinks your mom's a princess.
Okay, what about the boys?
They think she's very, very nice. But Melanie thinks she's a beautiful princess.
What would they think of the hippo though?
I think Kenji would know that a hippopotamus is a dangerous creature, and he would choose to run away. And I think Liam would be in stunned silence to see a hippo wearing a giant peace sign symbol around its neck. Or a hippie.
A hippo hero that also happens to be a hippie.
Yes, a hippie hippo hero.
Yes. Oh my God, what a surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippie hippo hero standing there.
Oh, that would be very surprising.
Yes. One that But you wouldn't know that they were a hippie until you got to know them. So chances are, when would you finally find out? Let's say you opened it on the 25th. Do you bet it would take till the 26th, 27th, or 28th to even find out?
I think that it would be obvious before the night of the 26th if that hippo was a hippie hippo.
So maybe, so I guarantee they know by the end of the 25th.
Right.
They'd have to open it on the 24th. Before it's too late. Act now before it's too late. You know? It's like act now before it's too late. Because in my mind, the real event of Christmas goes to the 25th.
Yes.
And everything after is just kind of on the side, even though it's still nice. And honestly, what sometimes I don't like is any time that it turns out to be actually busier, like a day or two after Christmas, than what it ever got right before. Did you find that, like, in 2012, that was kind of what happened on the 26th for a little while? That was almost more than what any time of day got before Christmas, from what you remember?
Yes.
Are you just guessing, or are you saying that upset happened? It almost happened, but not quite?
2012.
The 26th for, like, maybe 1 hour was a tad more than what anything before ever got?
You know.
Or would you say tied?
I would say that it was pretty tied, but you also have to remember that in 2012, December, the 23rd was supposed to be when the Mayan calendar claimed that.
That was actually the 21st.
So there you go. So I think that anybody who put weight into that prediction was still battling with the gravity of being wrong.
So you feel like that's why some of them waited to the 26th to go do it?
Yes, because they couldn't show their faces in good conscience.
Otherwise you're sure the 23rd would have been one to remember, partly because of it being a Sunday.
Yes.
Because of which it was, I would say, for, like, you know, 40 minutes. 1 hour, maybe.
Yes.
That, you'd say that was about right? Instead of 4 hours, it was for, like, 40 minutes? Which you saw more crowding with me at Great Lakes Saturday in 3 hours nonstop than what you ever saw at Midland at Christmas. Am I right?
Yes, I did.
Like you never saw Midland that intense for 3 hours running other than a con.
Exactly.
Like this past con was actually the most intense you ever saw it?
For Midland, well, yes. But I'm gonna have to take my leave of the radio show.
Take your leave of
yes.
the show.
Thank you.
All right, I will. It was good having you on the air, as they say. And we'll have you on another time. Yep. Just asking her a few questions based on some things that she had seen. Okay. But now let me see what the...
Try again. 6:59 p.m. Messages. 4 minutes ago. Donut. Actually eat a light breakfast so we can go as soon as it's done. Snowing how to look like it'll be done by like 11 and hopefully it... Show notification. Message. 6:59 p.m.
Ignore my phone if you heard it. That was just a little thing I received from on my a little text I got. I am not gonna read it live on the air. I don't do that here. If you want a show that maybe they read their text from their cell phone on the air, feel free. My show is not one of them. I don't see why I would need to do that either, because I have more important things to talk about and mention. Like this, starting tomorrow, I'm going to delve into the Easter season. season, the Easter programming. Tomorrow, I will be teaching on Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry, and what that means for us. And after all, why did they use palm branches? Why didn't they just use something from like an oak tree or something? Why palm? And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll be looking at the different accounts at which the story is told, as well as, I mean, included in that will be a lesson where I will teach on Monday will be kind of like the introduction to it. You'll know what all happened. Tuesday or Wednesday, not sure which yet. Still figuring that out in my mind. Tuesday, I think I'm going to do the five times that Jesus shed his blood. Now, I've heard Dr. Barclay preach both 5 and 6. Have you ever heard it preached both ways, too? That there was both 5 times as well as 6 times?
For what?
Jesus shedding his blood.
I have not.
You've only heard 5?
I've only heard that he did it once.
Five different times he shed his blood on the cross for us. There was 5 different times. Is the way Dr. Buckley teaches it. Example, you have the whipping post. You have Golgotha, the place of the skull. And then you have, the crown of thorns. That's 3. And then, and then a couple of other ones. But in your mind, the way you've heard it, even though they were different places, different events, it was still only counted as once.
Right.
Why is that? Or is that just the way you've heard it?
It's just the way I've heard it. I see what you're saying, though.
And in that case, if we also include, the drops of blood that fell to the ground when he was praying.
Right.
So now you see where it's 5 and not 1.
I do.
Because they were different, placed different.
Yes.
So that's one of those little, but then again, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was bad doctrine, because obviously he still believes that the blood was shed at the 5 different places.
Yes.
It's just the way he says it.
I see what you're saying. Yep, I see.
The way he says it 5 times, he feels like Dr. Buckley does, and so do I, that it makes it easier to be able to identify the separate ones. And we can actually tell people when they ask, it was actually 5, not 1. That he shed the blood.
Yeah.
But he said, and he didn't do it because he was bored. He did it for you and me, and he paid the price for our sin. A price that no one else could pay. We couldn't pay that price on our own. We could. Some of us would be broke from all the sacrifices we'd have to be making if he didn't. The way some of us might, live, Some of us would be broke, wouldn't we? Some of us would be broke just from all the sacrifices and all the animals we'd have to buy.
Right.
some of us, and by the way, the flock was not a store you could go to like at the mall or a place at the zoo. If we were still living in those days, I'd say, I wish. Wouldn't you wish? You could just go down to the zoo and find it.
Yes.
Yeah. So you could and be like, there, done, 5 minutes. That's all it took. Because it required certain things. But Jesus paid the price for all that. And we'll be getting into that. And all that next week in Holy Week, as it's called, because It really is a holy week, and it is one of the two most important times for a Christian. Christmas and Easter, in no particular order, are the two important times on the calendar for a Christian, the way I see it. Because now obviously nothing against either or, because, you know, Christmas, we celebrate his birth. And then Easter, we celebrate his resurrection. And so, obviously there's, and how could he be resurrected if he wasn't born first? So if you think about it, not to make one more important than the other, because I don't view it that way. You couldn't have Easter without Christmas, could you? No Christmas, no Easter.
Right.
If you know what I mean, because they're both cornerstone cornerstone holidays, not cornerstone. Don't even try looking up what a cornerstone is. Honestly, I don't know what it is. But guess what else? I don't care, because I'm gonna keep going on into the program. So that's just our programming note for what's coming up in the next couple days, in the next few days. Real quick notes. First of all, I want to remind you about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. Again, I want to say thank you to Natalia, if you're listening in Honduras. Thank you for all who have been faithful and sowing your seed. You can be just like Natalia by going online to paypal.com. And in the search bar, you will want to type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, last name, Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. That's the first thing to keep in mind. Number two, I would like you to keep in mind is that, we talked about, you know, the Rivers and Shukla being capitalized. The other thing I want to remind you about is that there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing, the first R in Rivers, the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. I tell you those things so that as you sow a seed, it can go to the right place. And whenever I get notification that seed has been sown, I always pray over that seed. Let me give you a Bible verse for your sowing your seed. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for you do not know the evil that will come upon this land. What does that mean? If you were in church and seven or eight offerings were taken, you should be giving them, all of them. Amen. So the other thing I want to remind you about so quickly is the book Rivers of Miracles. It's a story of my life and how great God has been, how God has always been there in my life through every trial I faced, all the trouble I faced. But you know something? I have a motto, and feel free to adopt this if you want, but I think this is a great way to live. The victory is greater than the battle. I'll say it again. the victory is greater than the battle. Yes, it is. And it doesn't matter what all you've had to battle. Victory, the victory is always greater. And yeah, I have like over 40 surgeries. But, you know, I'm alive to this day. Still, after they told me that I wouldn't carry myself past 8 and would die by the age of 12. Well, guess what? The devil lost. He's losing. In my life, he's losing. Why? Because I'm still alive. Every day I wake up and I'm still alive and I thank God is another day that the devil lost. And I thank God that I'm still alive. And I know that because I know something. If I am not dead, he's not done. Have you ever heard it said that way? If I'm not dead, he's not done?
I have.
And the thing is it's true. So you can think of it as just a little motto or just a little lyric from a song. A really good song, actually. But true. And it's a great way to think of it in your Christian life. That if I'm not dead, he is not done. And that means he has a reason to keep, there's a reason why you're still alive. Even if you're like 99 years old and in the nursing home and maybe in hospice, you know, there's still a reason why he kept you alive. Even if you've been asking him to take you home, maybe for years. I'm sure you've heard of people who for years have been asking to go home, right? But God still kept them here for a reason. And there's mysteries of God that we might not know the answers to. Go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out info about the book. Rivers of Miracles. And now I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. You can have my yes with no exception. You can have my yes. I'm giving you my fear of never knowing. Forgiveness is my prize and my version. I'll answer when you ask. You're the way, you're the life, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so now I leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. I'm giving you my dreams and my envisions. Whatever's coming next in my portion, I'll answer when you ask. 'Cause even in the fire, I know you've got me. I'm giving you my yes again. You're the way, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the light, you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I'll leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. I'll follow you, yeah. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. You're the lamp. You're the lamp. You're the cloud. You're the light. You're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. I'm running to the light. Oh. You're the lamp, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I'll leave it all behind, yeah. You're the lamp, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I'll leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, great are you, Lord. You give life, you are life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, we worship you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. It's your in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus, that you are moving on our behalf. You are great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are to each one of us. To each one of us, you mean something different. Thank you, Master, for what you're doing in each one of us. You know what we each have need of. And I thank you, Master, for that. And I thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. And now, Master, thank you for this time and your word tonight. Thank you that these listeners have joined in with ears that are ready to receive what it is that you have in store for them. Thank you, Master, for that. And now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that I thank you, Master, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, and amen, and amen. Amen. Go with me, please, to the book of 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings, 1 Kings, you know, either way you want to call it. We had a president who tried to call the Corinthians. He once tried to call 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians, and or maybe it was 2 versus 2nd. Remember? That little blunder thing?
I don't remember.
But that's kind of funny, though, isn't it? I think it's funny. So Trump did that. Obviously, he didn't do that on purpose, but I'm sure you've heard it. Well, maybe you've heard the same person say 1 Corinthians and also 1 Corinthians. You've heard it that way before, I'm sure, right?
Yep, either way is acceptable.
Yeah, but obviously. So that's obviously I won't judge. So we'll go to 1 Kings, because actually it doesn't say 1 Kings. It says 1 Kings. Mine says 1 Kings, but you want to call it 1 Kings? More power to you. Same thing with 1 Kings. You want to call it that? More power to you. We're going to 1 Kings 17. I will begin reading in verse 1. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord of God, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirioth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him to do, and he went to the brook Kirioth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. Bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, and he asked, "Will you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and to make a meal, make a cake for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But make my small cake first, from out of what you have, and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry
until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was all used up after like a month and a half.
No.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. After 3 months.
No.
6 months.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well, that was food. Elijah and for the woman and her family. And the jar of flour was not used up at all. And the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken to Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. He grew worse and worse. And finally, he stopped breathing. And she said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin to kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, laid him on the bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow that I'm staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry. The boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother, and he said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." You see, it took a miracle from God. It took a miracle from God to get that widow to truly believe and to truly notice and to finally say, "Oh, now I know that this God stuff is true. Now I know that you are truly a man of God." As at that point, he had been staying with her for a while. For a long while. And she had been providing for him. And that jar of flour never ran out. They never ran out of food. They never once ran out. And so it took more than that to make her realize. Because obviously she noticed that the food wasn't running out. But you know what people's brains will do. They might think, oh, maybe he's just, maybe we've just been so conservative with the use of the stuff, you know, of the flower. Maybe we've just been using it so sparingly. Maybe that's why it's crushing us. Where the truth is, it was not running dry. It would still have the same amount in it. And I heard a pastor tease about this thing during COVID, and he said, may your toilet paper continue to last and not run out. And then it's like, all the toilet paper rolls are all like having sons and daughters. I'm sure that there's people who still have toilet paper left that they hoarded in 2020. Do you know someone who still has some left from what they hoarded?
I don't.
Do you know anybody who had like a year and a half supply?
I don't.
What's the longest you knew of it lasting without them buying more, like 6 months?
For me, I have...
No, from the people that you knew of, from the hoarding that they did.
Well, I don't know.
Well, do you not even know of anybody who hoarded?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't live with them. I would say that they probably did, some of them.
And some of them probably still have some left.
Probably so.
I'd be like, Lord, send that some of that toilet paper to my house. That's what I would have been. You know, but then, and now we can laugh at it now, but at that time, wasn't exactly so funny, especially if you had just ran up. But the real story, you know, that food never ran out. Unlike the water at the Brook of Kedis, which did dry out because there was no rain. And also the ravens had stopped bringing Elijah the food. And he had told him, you know, go. Well, he told him to go. And he said, I've already commanded a widow to provide you with food. And he says, make me a cake first. Folks, he didn't do that to be selfish. He did that because that's how God told him to say it. He was obeying God, not being selfish. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if she was thinking at that moment, you selfish little guy. What you talking about make me a cake first? I got a little boy to feed. You bet that's at first kind of what she might have been thinking?
Absolutely.
She would have been like,
I know if I was in that situation, it would be hard for me not to think that.
You'd be like, but then at the same time, you might be like, maybe you'd even battle in your brain. There'd be part of you saying, man, he's selfish. But then there'd be another part of you that would be like, yeah, I'll do it. And like,
right.
You'd be wrestling with it.
Right.
With like, okay, what do I do?
Right.
And how do I make it so that I don't give both responses? Because you give both responses, you know what that's called? A mixed message.
Oh, unbelief.
And if you give the guy both responses, you're showing you don't necessarily believe.
Right.
And also, you're showing him a mixed message. And you're showing him in a way, you're kind of showing him, well, maybe I guess I'll obey, even though I think it's kind of selfish, you know? So she goes, makes him the cake first, makes him that little pancake. The way I imagine it, you know, a little pancake. And let me tell you, it was not no blissy pancake like some of what you might get from, like, Crackle Barrel. I mean, IHOP or Crackle Barrel. Yes, you heard me right. Crackle Barrel. Redneck way to say Cracker Barrel. And by the way, folks, yes, I have heard that. So it wasn't one of those blissy pancakes, which with all the cool different toppings on it, like cheesecake and all these different things. It's amazing what they can do now and all the different things that they'll try. Reese's pancakes, different cereal pancakes. It's like it never ends. How about a donut pancake? Well, at a place called Julie Darling Donuts down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I've actually had a pancake donut from there. And it was great. And one of my favorite donut shops in America. Right there with a couple that I've been to in Tampa, Florida. But my point is, she obeyed God. That food never ran out. Never ran out of food. Then, a while later, the son had gotten older. He became very sick. And Elijah, for a minute there, was even like, Lord, did you bring this tragedy upon this woman? Like, kind of wondering for a minute. And then she's even wondering, you know, what's going on? Why is my son so sick? To the point where he died. But then Elijah goes up there and he is able to raise him from the dead by, you know, sitting on him a couple times. And, you know, speaking life, the life of God into him. Then he comes back to life. And he comes back to life, not sick, but healed. And then she ends up saying, you know, Elijah, now I know that you are, in fact, a man of God, like you've said you are. Now I can rest assured knowing that you are a man of God. And I'm sure she's thinking, not only have we not run out of food, but now my son is now alive and healed, as if the sickness never came to him. And that's a great story that we looked at tonight of the miracle working power of God. And
try again. 7:46 p.m. Twitter messages. 51 minutes ago.
When you hear about God doing miracles, You know, you see miracles taking place in your life or in your church. Don't take it for granted as something that happens all the time, that there's always miracles happening. No. Thank God for them. And also, if you need a miracle, you should be expecting a miracle. And not just be saying, well, I hope a miracle would come. And be like, well, it'd be real nice to have one, but I don't know if I'm a candidate. Like, and you might be like, I really don't know. You know, at that point, you know, start talking to God. Start confessing before him what you believe in for. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. Seek, find, knock. And the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And it can also, and it also says, another place, he says, you know, for some, you may have asked, but you've asked amiss, which means you didn't ask properly, the right way. You know, the way that Jesus told us, the way that we were told to ask. Yeah. And maybe some of you, the reason you haven't received what you've been believing for, maybe it's your mouth. Maybe it's your gossiping, your talebearing, your pride, living pride. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you need to repent of. Because let me tell you something. God does not bless sin. He does not bless a sinful lifestyle. He doesn't. He does not bless it. And so that's why it's best to have come before God with clean hands and a pure heart. Not soiled hands and an unclean heart. So also another, and you may say, what else may be hindering it? Well, maybe, you know, we talked about, you know, the different, so it's about the mouth thing. Maybe it might not be that you're gossiping. Maybe you're not talebearing. Maybe you've, you know, maybe you are not, maybe you haven't necessarily used, you know, foul language or anything like that, but maybe you're doubting. Because if you're doubting through the words of your mouth by saying, I'm not sure if he's actually good for it or not. Because at times, she kind of showed she was kind of doubting a little bit. Over time, she got better and better and better. And then she goes up to him and says, now I know that you are a man of God. I know for a fact. And that's even after she watched the food not run out when it should have ran out. Because normally, you know, when we run out of flour and stuff, you know, to make a certain thing, you know, for a certain recipe or whatever, you know, maybe it's a certain casserole or something you have a lot for breakfast or dinner or something, and it runs out. Generally here in America, for the most part, we can just run to the store and get new. they didn't have that because it hadn't been raining at all. So there was no going to Walmart, going to Kroger, going to Aldi. They had to trust God, Jehovah Jireh, Wally World, or I wanted to say Jehovah Sam or Jehovah Aldi, but no, you know, you know, but no, obviously they're not God. All they do is just keep our, you know, keeps the shelves stocked. But you know, and by the way, when you see a trucker, it may not hurt to thank them for what they do. Well, you know that some of the truck driver, because all that stuff comes from somewhere. All that stuff you go get from the grocery store, from Target, from, you know, from Walmart, Meijer, even the clothing store, that had to get there somewhere, some way. Generally, maybe it had to be, you know, brought in by plane, brought in by train. Well, and then usually it would end up, finally, it would end up being on a truck. So, so it's just something to think about. But, you know, but they trusted in God. And guess what? That food didn't run out. But in order for her to truly believe, it took her son being totally healed. Because, you know, it's human nature to care more about someone else than to care about yourself. Because she wanted her son healed. At that moment, she wasn't necessarily thinking about the food, the flour, the pancakes, whatever kind of cake they made. Chances are they didn't use Mrs. Butterworth syrup. And also, I imagine they didn't use Old Country Store pancake mix. Because I have had me some Old Country Store pancake mix here in my house. From the good old Cracker Barrel. As they say, Cracker Barrel Old Country Store, Lebanon, Tennessee. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Master, that we would get this word in our heart, and that we would, you know, realize, that we would all believe, that we would believe in you, that we would believe and realize your promises are yes and amen, and that you are the provider. You are the God who heals. You're the God who makes a way when it seems like there's no other way, yet you make a way. And I thank you that you are still moving on our behalf right now today. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody. You can go ahead and...